though some, Constanza in particular, had come close to guessing that it must exist. But the chamber drew only parsimoniously from the ship's power and life support systems grid, and even Constanza's undoubted skill and persistence had not been sufficient to bring its location to light. Which was good, for although the situation was less critical now, there had been long years in which the chamber's discovery would have ruined me. Now, however, my situation was secure. I had enough allies to weather minor scandals, and I had dealt effectively with most of those who stood against me. Technically, of course, there were three prisoners, although Sleek did not really fit into the latter category. His presence had merely been useful to me, and, irrespective of how he viewed it, I did not view his incarceration as a genuine punishment. As ever upon my arrival, he flexed within his tank, but lately he only moved sluggishly, his small dark eye only dimly registering my presence. I wondered how much of his earlier life he remembered, confined in a tank that was oceanically vast compared to the one where he had been for the last 50 years.
"We're nearly there, aren't we?"
I turned around, surprised after all this time to hear the croak of Constanza's voice. "Very nearly," I answered. "I've just seen Journey's End with my own eyes, you know, as a fully formed world, not just a bright star. It's really quite wonderful to see it, Constanza."
"How long has it been?"
She tried to look at me, straining against her constraints. She was tied to a stretcher which had been cranked to an angle of 45 degrees. "Since I brought you here? I don't know. 4, 5 months? I shrugged, as if the matter had barely occupied my thoughts. "It doesn't really matter, does it?"
"What did you tell the rest of the crew, Sky?"
I smiled. "I didn't need to tell them anything. I made it look as if you'd committed suicide by jumping out of one of the airlocks. No need to provide a body that way. I just let the others draw their own conclusions."
"They'll figure out what happened one day."
"Oh, I doubt it. I've given them a world, Constanza. They want to canonize me, not crucify me. I don't see that changing for a very long time." She had always been problematic, of course. I had discredited her after the Caluche incident, bringing to light a trail of faked evidence which placed her in the same conspiratorial frame as Captain Ramirez. That was the end of her career in security. She had been lucky to avoid execution or imprisonment, especially in the desperate days that had followed the detachment of the sleeper modules. But Constanza had never ceased to give me cause for concern, even when she had been demoted to menial work. The crew as a whole were willing to accept that the detachment had been a desperate but necessary act, a conclusion I pushed them towards via propaganda and lies concerning the other ship's intentions. I did not even think of it as a crime myself. Constanza thought otherwise, and spent her last years of liberty trying to unravel the labyrinth of misinformation I had recently woven around myself. She was always probing into the Caluche incident, protesting that Ramirez had been innocent, and she insisted on wild speculation about the manner in which old man Balcazar had really died, that his two medics had been wrongfully executed. At times, she even raised doubts about the way Titus Houseman had died. Finally, I decided I had to silence her. Faking her suicide required only a little preparation, as did bringing her to the torture chamber unseen by anyone else. She had spent most of that time drugged and restrained, of course, but I had allowed her little windows of lucidity now and again. It was good to have someone to talk to.
"Why did you keep him alive for so long?" Constanza said.
I looked at her, marveling at how aged she had become. I remembered when we had both stood against the glass of the large dolphin tank, near equals. The Chimera.